Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
We're gonna rewind just a little on what Pastor Tom talked about last week. So he brought four stories in Matthew, the end of Matthew 7. And we're just going to talk about the last story. And because I feel like we just scratched the surface on that one, or they just scratched the scratch. And yes, it's about building on a firm foundation, and Christ is our firm foundation. But we're going to dig in a little and just take a look at kind of more depth. What else is going on here? Is there anything else? And I want, I don't know, when I listen to a sermon, to someone speaking or a podcast or reading, I always am expectant. I look for, like, God, what are you saying to me? They may be speaking about this, but often I find God will speak to me on something completely different, but somehow it's related there. So always be expectant when you're listening, when you're reading the word. What is God saying to me about my life and what, you know, what's going on in my life? It might surprise you. We even sang about this morning. We sing that song, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. It's about putting my faith in Jesus, that he won't fail us, that we trust him, and we are not letting go. But what I can see from this scripture, there's a little more here. There is a deeper lesson. Maybe I'll write another verse to that song. I'm tempted, but I'm not that poetic, so I think we'll just have to kind of have it in that we know this. So if you notice, the title in your Bible for this section might be something like Building on a Solid Foundation, or The Wise and Foolish Builders, or another one I've seen is Build on the Rock. So just so you know, those titles are actually not translations of the Bible. That's what the publisher put in there to help us just, I guess, find things, to be able to kind of quickly look through and find, oh, here's the story on this, or here's that. There's these little titles. But so even that kind of tells us what that section is about, but I still think they missed the point. So we should always kind of test what we think we know. I always thought that this story was building on a firm foundation, that Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my firm foundation. But I think the scripture actually shows us how to build on that firm foundation. So we are called to accept Jesus as Savior. Tom talked about this last week, the difference between Savior and Lord. And I believe that what the scripture shows us is both those things. Jesus is our firm foundation, is Jesus our Savior. But building on that foundation is making him Lord. So we are also called to make him Lord. Can we live a successful life with just having him as Savior and not making him Lord in our life? Sure. There's biblical principles that we can follow so that we have a successful life. But if he's not our Lord, I think that we can have a more successful life if Jesus is our Lord. But how do we make him our Lord? How do we do that? I think the better way is to live with him as our Lord. So that's what this parable is about. Jesus, our Savior, firm foundation, and Jesus as my Lord, which actually comes down to obedience. So that might make you a little corner me this morning. In fact, I did not, yesterday I was going over this and I'm like, oh, I don't want to preach on this. This is such a hard topic, especially if you're new. I am really sorry if you're new. But it's not that, it's not that hard because he is so gracious and patient and loving. I see that in the word. I see that through my own experience. Wherever you are at, he will meet you there in exactly that spot. So we're going to dig in a little bit. This is Easy Bible Study 101. This is not hermeneutics, which is, you know, translating the Bible and context and culture and all those things. We're just kind of, I'm going to show you kind of some easy Bible study things that I do all the time that anybody can do and you have access. You don't need logos or certain commentaries and things like that. It's actually pretty simple. So we're going to do two things. We're going to look at this verse, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, in the NIV, the New International Version, but I'm also going to bring forward some differences that the NLT has, which is New Living Translation, and the New King James, NKJ, I guess. I always say just New King James for that one. And those are kind of my three favorites. You might have other versions of the Bible that you enjoy reading. My favorite is NIV. That's what we will always, almost always see on the screen when we're preaching, New International Version. I like, right now I'm reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation, just because it's smoother, it kind of flows nicer, it's different from what I'm used to, and it's really good if you're reading your Bible regularly to, after you've maybe read the Bible, to switch up the version and read it in a different version. And then I also like the New King James. The New King James can be a little clunky, so it's not always easy to read. So we're going to kind of take those three, although we could take several other ones as well. So we're going to look at the same verse, different versions, and then we're also going to look at the same story, but different authors. So if you don't know this, there are the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those are the beginning of the New Testament. Those are actually four different versions of the same story. Matthew's written by Matthew, Luke written by Luke, and so on. And so you're going to get a kind of a different telling of the story. If I do something with you, we go on a hike and something happens on that hike and we come back and we tell our story, we have a different viewpoint and different things may pop out to me than are relevant to you. And so that's what's happened with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so you are going to see some stories repeated there and they are told a little bit differently. So that makes it super interesting. So we're going to look at one of those. So let's look at Matthew 7, and we're going to read the NIV version first, and then we'll just look at a few differences. So therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So as I looked at the NLT, New Living Translation, and the New King James, there were some slight differences, not a lot. Good to know. But there was a couple words that really stood out for me. And the reason why I like reading these different translations is because some words, for some reason, mean more to me than others, partially because of maybe the way I was brought up or just what I know or what I understand about the definition of that word or what it means to me. And so there was a few things that popped out for me. So taking a look at that first section, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, this is what it said in the NLT. In the NLT, it said, he who listens to my teaching and follows it. And I really liked listens. We can hear, but not listen. And so I was like, huh, this is a little deeper than just hearing God's words, but it's actually listening to him. It takes more attention to listen to someone than to just hear them. And so I love that. In the New King James, it says hears these sayings of mine and does them, puts them into practice, does them, kind of the same, follows it. So nothing really new there, but still, I think it's talking about obedience here, right? Then we go to the part where it says, because its foundation was on the rock, the end of verse 25. And in the NLT, it says, because it was built on bedrock. And New King James says, for it was founded on the rock. And I really like the word founded. Founded to me just meant like, I don't know, I didn't look it up, but sometimes I'll just go to the dictionary and look up things. But founded to me means like forever, solid, like it's not going anywhere, founded. So I really liked that. And then the last part, there wasn't a lot of difference here, but let's read it. In the NIV, it says, hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. In the NLT, it says, who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it. And this is the first place where the word obey comes up, or they could have just been like, who hears my teaching and is disobedient, but they're so gracious and doesn't obey it. New King James hears and does not do them. So what do we notice? Let me just recap that. The wise man, and we don't want to be the foolish guy, right? I want to be the wise man. I don't want Jesus to call me foolish. I want to be the wise man who built on the firm foundation, or we're going to see in Luke describes it as he who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock, was the one who listens and follows. That's action. Who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice. Who hears these words and does it. In other words, obedience. So being his disciple requires some action. Foolish man, on the other hand, as we all know, built his house on just ground, no foundation, on the sand, unstable ground, heard and didn't obey, or in other words, disobeyed, heard and didn't do anything, heard his words and did not put them into practice. So, frankly, we can have a lovely house, but if it's built on sand or unstable ground, it's not going to last. When a storm comes, we are not going to be able to withstand that. But that house, that same beautiful house, can be plopped on a good, stable piece of rock. But if there is no foundation, if there is nothing securing us or securing that house to the rock, then it too will collapse. A hurricane's going to take it out in a second if there's nothing holding it there. So that word obey really stood out for me. And there's action connected to what we hear. We could come every week and just sit and hear and listen and hear and listen. But if there is no sense of action connected to that, we're kind of fooling ourselves. We are not stabilizing ourselves to our foundation, Jesus. In order to be secured to that rock, we've got to learn to walk in obedience. It is super quiet in here. Anyway, and I know submitting to authority or submitting to anyone other than ourselves, it's hard. It's like countercultural, right? But this is my prayer, that as a church, Hillside, that we may always be humble and soft towards the voice of God. So we're going to look at quickly the same story, but different authors. And I actually really like this version better. So this is the wise and foolish builders again. We're just going to read it in the NIV, the New International Version. So this is Luke 6, 46 through 49. And it starts with this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I can see Jesus like having his people, and he's just like, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing what I tell you? Like he's having this real frank, raw conversation with them. And he goes on to say, and he does this parable, which helps us remember. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck, and the torrent that struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So he who hears my words and puts them into action, that is the man that is wise, the woman that is wise, that lays down that those roots. Storms in life, as we know, are inevitable. And we really cannot truly be fully prepared, but we can prepare by living a relationship with Christ that honors him in just simple, regular obedience. It's not going to be perfect, because we're just not perfect. We mess up all the time, but I'm still here. I'm going to share some ways that I messed up in a couple minutes. But first, I want to do some practical building tips. So I just want to share my building experience, which is not a lot. It was when I was 14, and I lived on a farm, and I wanted to build a doghouse for the dogs. And so I knew how to use a hammer and some wood, and so I had in mind what we should do. Did not plan it out, but anyway, one of the lessons is to plan. But I built this little foundation, I guess, not a foundation, but a base. And so with 2x4s, I constructed this solid little base, and then I put some plywood on top, and it was all nice and secure. But then I didn't know how to build walls. So I'm trying to figure out how do you build the walls, and then I didn't have a proper saw to build a door or anything. I thought, well, I'll just make it an A-frame. Then, you can just tip the things up, but I didn't know how to join it all. I didn't have whatever pieces of metal and stuff that you need to do all that kind of stuff. So I had to pivot, and I ended up making a tree fort. So I lugged that big, heavy thing over across the river. There was a bridge, by the way, over to this really quiet little meadowy place that had some beautiful trees. And there was this tree with some four kind of trunks, lost the word for a minute. And I lugged that big heavy thing up into the tree, and I shoved it down between those four trunks, and I made myself a tree fort. And I loved that place, man. I read my books there. I had my quiet, I didn't know the Lord then, but that was my away time. I had two little brothers. I made a rope ladder so that I could bring it up so they couldn't get up there to bug me. And I had a special way to kind of put it up so they couldn't go there when I wasn't there, and I could hook it down. It did get infested with earwigs because I did carpet it, and it was kind of nasty, but I still loved my treehouse. So it was pretty good, but that's basically my building experience. The rest of all my knowledge is just on Google. So I learned recently, and I'll be surprised what starts showing up on my phone for ads and things like that because of all the investigating I've done on building, but actually through a book that I've been reading lately on emotionally healthy leadership, I learned recently that the island of Manhattan, actually, in the U.S., consists almost entirely of bare granite. So that's very hard and strong, but to carry the weight of a 100-story skyscraper or probably anything that they're going to build there, is the builders use foundation anchors called pilings. And I know you who build know all this. But those are concrete or steel columns that are hammered into the ground. And for the buildings there, they will go as deep probably as 25 stories into the ground to secure these buildings into the ground. Now, if they're not done very well, the building could crack or lean. So what I'm wanting to say through this is that these simple actions of obedience are like the pilings or the columns that are securing us to the foundation, which is Christ our Savior. And that begins to make Christ our Lord as well. So author Pete Scazzaro, who wrote that book, Emotionally Healthy Leader, he likens those columns that hold us to the rock as being our inner life. So that is, do we have loving union with Jesus? Do we have this deep intimacy with Jesus, our secret life? What does that look like? Well, how do we get there? Like, how do we get to this place of being secured to the rock and having that strength of being secured to the firm foundation? Well, it is those simple, small acts of obedience. Or may I propose, it could be radical obedience. To me, radical obedience is like immediate obedience and kind of not being afraid of what God's calling us to, but just doing it right away. And that's my heart. I mean, it's not bad to be radical, but I just don't do it. I guess sometimes I do it. I did it this morning. I had to ask somebody to forgive me, and as soon as I saw her, I just went and asked for forgiveness. That's my heart. Don't always do it. So let's start somewhere, church. If we are a church that is known for simply living life in loving union with Jesus, that's success. That is a good church. And that is my heart for us. Jesus our Savior, but also Jesus our Lord, that we have depth in our relationship with Jesus. And I know this is hard, and this is the narrow way. But I want you to be encouraged by two examples. One is Jesus, one is myself. Hopefully I encourage you. But Jesus, before he stepped into obedience to go to the cross, he actually prayed three times to the Father to ask him. He went on his face and fervently asked God to take this away from him. So he had an assignment, something God was calling him, the Father was calling him to, and he asked God to take, no, I don't want to do this, but I will if this is what you want. Three times he went to the Father, and it says the Father heard him, but he still chose to walk in obedience. And so if it took Jesus three times going to the Father, I think God's got some grace for us. It's not necessarily going to be easy. So I struggle with that idea of radical obedience. And I know there's been many times where I have heard God speak to me on certain things. It's been often, it might be through a scripture, through others, what others are doing or what somebody else said, a little nudge in my spirit. And I'm like, oh yeah, that I should do that. But then I take my time in obeying. Sometimes I take a long time. I do get there most of the time eventually. I'm still here. He is such a wonderful God of grace and mercy, let me tell you. So here I'm going to share two areas where I have failed miserably. One of them is in the area of preaching. So I do not enjoy preaching. But God has told me in some cases to do it. So we're planning for Christmas back in probably October, November. We're planning for Christmas. And we're in the room there at the front. And I feel this nudge. You should offer just to preach one service. Just so that Pastor Brad doesn't have so many messages to do, because you've got Christmas and a couple services there, two or three services there, and then two services every week, and it's a lot. And I didn't say anything, and I just sat there and I didn't say anything because I didn't want to. Because you have to know that when I preach, I shut everybody out for a whole week. Like, if I'm not messaging you, or I'm sorry, because I just can't. I can't write a sermon in a day like Pastor Brad does. It takes me a long time, and I'll even bounce things off of him. And so I did not want to do that, because I just was happy having my own Christmas, my own December, the way I wanted it. So I didn't say anything, but the conviction of God persisted, and he was gracious. And when I saw the sermon series that we were doing, and there was this one right at the very end, we've got this story about the house built on the rock or the house built on sand. God had actually showed me this a couple years ago. And I just thought, yep, I gotta do it. And so here I am, 3 months later. So that was one area. The other area was Sabbath rest. And it took me from when God spoke to me about doing Sabbath well for me, it took me over a year to actually walk that out. And he was so faithful while I ignored him, or I forgot, or I just didn't know how. And he just continued to speak to me through other people, through a book, through a course I took twice. And they had a section on the Sabbath. And I didn't implement it until the second time I'm going through the course. And then I forget. Oh, I forgot. And I'm like vacuuming. Oh, if vacuuming brings you joy, vacuum. I don't care. But anyway, it's kind of one of those have-tos, right? Gardening does not bring me joy. So gardening may be a Sabbath joy for you. It's not for me. So it took me months to implement new habits, and I still haven't got it right, and I still forget. But he honors me in my attempts to be obedient to that. He knows us, church. He knows us, and he knows what we're capable of. And I'm sure as we're sitting here, you might have this long list that's coming up. I don't know that that's God. That's probably you. If you're feeling guilty, that's not God. If you're feeling convicted, that is God. Conviction, there's a response you can bring to conviction. It doesn't stay there. You can choose then to change that and walk in obedience. So I want you to trust that whatever we're just going to look for one thing today. We're not going to look at that whole list. And he doesn't call you to start doing the whole list. He will bring one thing to you today. That's all we're asking. It could be a small thing. It could be a big thing. If it's a big thing, if he's calling you to radical obedience in something, I'd say get a mentor, get an accountability partner, and walk that out together. But church, we can walk in obedience definitely in small ways with one thing. So I want to encourage you that he speaks to all of us, and I know you can hear him. It may sound like your own voice, but you can hear that. You just know it's within you. And so we're going to start to take those steps of small, faithful actions towards obedience, and he honors you in that. And change starts with an open heart and repentance. Not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your kids. Don't be elbowing people. We're taught you do you today, okay? So we're going to take a minute. Ludovic is just going to also kind of have some music, kind of just to make it so it's not like long, awkward silence. But I'm going to walk you through just some steps leading us to walking out obedience. And so we're going to pray together. So let's just take some time. I'm not going to ask you to move your seat or anything like that, but we're going to make some changes in our hearts. So let's pray, church. Lord Jesus, I want to be obedient to you. Tell me, what does that look like for me? Maybe it means accept him as your savior or make a lifestyle change, forgive someone, ask forgiveness, walk out a new ministry, hold your spouse's hand, I don't know. What does that look like for me? And change requires repentance. which means like turning from the old to the new, to something different. So let's just continue to pray, stay in this attitude of prayer. So forgive me, Jesus, for not listening, for not hearing you, for ignoring you. Forgive me. Forgive my disobedience. Help me to change and embrace your higher call on my life. And I just want to leave a minute here for you to have your own words, conversation with Jesus. And then we're going to close with this, just some action. And staying in prayer, we're going to ask him what we're supposed to do next. So Lord Jesus, show me. What do I do next? If it's to accept him as Savior, you can just pop your hand up and raise your hand and I'll see that and we can chat during the week or you can connect with Pastor Brad. Maybe it's to get baptized. Jesus, show me. What do I do next? Father, I thank you for your goodness and your gentleness and your softness. But I also thank you for just being real with us. And we desire to make you Lord of our lives. We desire to be a church that has intimate, fruitful relationship with you. We declare our love for you this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, did you know that, and this could be a whole other sermon series, but a couple things that comes with obedience is blessing. In James 1:22, it talks about that blessing comes from obedience. And then in John 14:21, it says that obedience actually brings revelation. So if you're struggling to hear God's voice, if that's a big thing right now, just walk in a little step of obedience. And that brings, it's the word tells us that he will reveal himself to each of us when we obey his commandments. And so whatever he's saying, that will bring revelation. That's pretty cool. And I want to circle back to that song, Firm Foundation, that we sing so wholeheartedly. And my prayer is that now when we sing it, that there's going to be more depth to that. That you know as we sing that, it doesn't say the word obedience or that following what he says, but we know that now, that in order to be secured to the foundation of God, that we need to walk in obedience. And it will remind you that he is calling us to put down those deep connections and be secured to him. He is faithful to your simple obedience, and he won't fail you as you step into whatever it is that he's calling you to, whether it's small or big.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.
What else compares? It's like nothing I've ever known.